Well, this is week four of Jesus Teach Me to Pray. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 16 through verse 18. I want you to think about a time that you had a decision to make. What type of decision was it? It was a big one, a huge decision. How did you make that decision? Did you take time to pray about it? Did you take time to talk to someone else, somebody that would be giving you good advice? Maybe someone on the other side of the issue and kind of push against you, go, yeah, I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it that way. I never thought of it that way. When was the last time you wrestled with a decision that there was a major crossroad, whether it was your employment, whether it was retirement, whether it was do you try for another house? What was the last decision you made that was, if you will, life-altering? And then what was the process to go through that? I would think that none of you just flipped a coin and said, well, if it's God's will, bing! Heads I'd stay, tails I go, and oh, okay. You wrestle through that. Maybe there's some of you that are at a crisis, and the crisis was something catastrophic. And you wrestled with this, and it just shook your world. And you didn't know what to do. You didn't know where to turn. You just sat and you cried. Because this crisis that occurred to you, it shook everything. And the only thing you could do was cry out to God. This morning, as we lean into Matthew chapter 6, we're talking about fasting this morning. Fasting is abstaining from food. Now, I want to stop right here, and I want to acknowledge there are some of you that have medical conditions that physically are not and should not fast from food. So the rest of the morning, I'm going to use food because it's the most natural reading of the text. But I don't want you to leave here saying, I have to do this in order to be more spiritual. You need to follow the advice of your medical professional. I'm a pastor. I'm not a physician. So I want to make sure I make that disclaimer that you hear this and we see this in the right way. But there are things that you could abstain from other than food that could and do consume our life. The easiest thing, if you will, is technology, your smartphone, or the Instagram, or Facebook, or Snapchat, or TikTok, or whatever else is out there. It can consume your life. But fasting is abstaining from something, if you will, food. It's being so consumed with that matter, that issue, that crisis, that decision, that it becomes more important than food. When was the last time that you had such something on your mind that you forgot to eat? That food had lost its taste, that food had lost its appeal. In our house, the boys, they're consumed with food. That pretty much tells you who I'm talking about. So we sit down for breakfast, and I look at Holly. You know what I tell her? What's for lunch? You haven't even eaten breakfast. Oh, okay. That's good. What's for lunch? We sit at lunch. You know what the question is? No, what's for snack? You don't go to supper. You got to get snack. What's for snack? Then you sit at snack, and you say, honey, what's for supper? And you sit at supper, then you ask her. You know what you ask her? What's for dessert? You think I laugh, a joke, but you all know this. And we're so consumed with food, the clock is ticking on our tummies to put food in. But maybe you're in a decision, maybe you're in a crisis, that you're so consumed with this, that food has lost its flavor. That the joy and pleasure that we get from eating, it's just not there. My mind went to times that we've had loved ones in the hospital and you're sitting by their bedside and time just, first of all, time goes so slow, but yet time goes so fast because you're so consumed with this matter. Fasting is abstaining from food because the matter that you have on your mind, that decision or that crisis, it becomes so much more important than food. There's biblical examples. These are just some, not all of them. Jehoshaphat, Queen Esther, and Ezra are all Old Testament examples of men and women that had a crisis. I think of Esther. She's the most fresh that I just read through. There's a bounty on the head of the Jewish people, and she's going to go into the king. And if the king does not extend that scepter, she loses her life. So she says, this is a huge decision. I'm going to boldly go. I need you to fast. Because if I don't fast and stick up for the Jewish people, we all die. That's a pretty big crisis. She called for a fast. In the New Testament, Jesus fasted, the apostles fasted, Cornelius, Paul, many, many others fasted either for a decision or a crisis that was there, and the crisis or decision, it overshadowed the desire for food. By now, you should be in Matthew chapter 6. We're in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. In my mind, the Sermon on the Mount, it's the 12 disciples sitting in the front row taking notes, and Jesus speaking to them, and then there's a crowd listening to Jesus, but his audience are the disciples, those that follow the teachings of Christ. And he's sitting there, and he's going to teach them a good example and a bad example. We learn from the good and the bad. So in the verse 16, we're going to learn a bad example of fasting. This is what you should not do. We can learn from that. We could also learn from a good example of fasting in verses 17 and 18. So let's go ahead. Let's get into God's word. Jesus says this, now whenever you fast, I wish it didn't say that. I wish it said if you would ever think about maybe fasting. I say that, but you're with me. Fasting, if you will, it's not fun. It's not something that we talk about openly. We love to talk about prayer. We'll talk about giving, but fasting, oh, that's different. That's difficult because we are consumed by food. But Jesus says, now whenever you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. The Pharisees, they fasted. They fasted on the second day and the fifth day of the week. And they did that because that was the time that Moses went and got the Ten Commandments up on Mount Sinai. Only one time in the Old Testament we commanded to fast, or they were commanded to fast, and that's in Leviticus chapter 16 on the Day of Atonement. So Jesus knows that there's fasting. He says, whenever you fast, do not make a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. When you fast, you are not to change your appearance. If you're fasting, I shouldn't know. And if I'm fasting, you shouldn't know. Our appearances shouldn't change. It's almost like we walk into church and we say, hey, how you doing? I'm doing wonderful today. I love Jesus. Well, maybe you need to tell your face. But we do that. And we come in and we say, oh, I'm fasting. Well, I can tell you're hangry right now. And we joke and we laugh, but when we fast, the Pharisees, they came and they were hypocrites. They said one thing and they did another. They're setting a bad example. So Jesus, with these 12 disciples, with their notes, taking notes, he's saying, hey, guys, we've heard it before. You know, you've seen this. When you fast, don't change your face. Don't disfigure your face. Don't put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Now, why do they do that? That's what Scripture tells us. For they distort their faces, not physically. They don't beat themselves up. All they do is they don't wash their face. They don't brush their hair. They don't take care of their face. They go into a state of mourning so that people look at them and say, oh, what's wrong? I'm fasting. Oh, you're really spiritual. You're fasting. Why do they do this? They do this so that they will be noticed by people. The Pharisees or the hypocrites are in it for one reason and one reason only, the praise of people. They want people to say and look at them, that a boy, that a girl. They're not in it for the reasons to honor and glorify God, to grow closer to God, that we're going to see in a few minutes. They're in it for all the wrong reasons, just to have people look at them and think that they're more spiritual. So Jesus is talking to the disciples sitting around him saying, you've seen this example, it's bad, don't follow it. Don't make your face gloomy, don't distort your face, don't double negative, don't not wash your face, we'll come to that in a minute, so that they will be noticed by people. You should just carry yourself on, just as you always do. Whether you're fasting or not, your face should not show a difference. You should not be hungry or angry or hangry if you're fasting. Because when they're noticed by people, then they will have their reward in full. They're not going to have a reward from God. They're going to have a reward from man that is so temporal and it is so short-lived that it's gone. One commentator said it this way, fasting is not just about the absence of food. It's about the devotion to God. And friends, this morning, the question I have for you, are you craving food or God more? Which are you craving more? Which thing is consuming you? There are wrong motives for fasting. These are four. That doesn't mean there's only four, but these are the four that I'm going to talk about. The first one is becoming arrogant in your walk with God. The Pharisees would walk around and say, oh, I'm fasting. Look at me. I'm so spiritual. We should not be doing that because we need to do fasting so that no one knows that we're doing it. So watch the arrogance. Watch your pride. Be careful that you don't allow pride to take over. Well, I fast Tuesday and Thursday, and you only fast on Wednesday? Makes me better than you. Oh, you fast 3 days a week? Oh, you fast 2 days a week? Oh, you don't fast at all? Well, tisk, tisk, tisk. And we become prideful. We become arrogant. And that's the wrong motive for doing this. We want to boast about what we've learned. If I were to take time to spend time in God's Word, I did a Google search this week about the typical time that it takes for a person to make a meal. About an hour and a half from start to finish. Start of the meal through the preparation, the waiting for it to bake, the eating of it, and then the cleanup of it, so the kitchen looks the same at the end as it did in the beginning. It's about an hour and a half. If I cook, it's about 3 hours because I make such a mess. If I don't want to cook, I just go out and get something. It's so much quicker and easier. Throw it in a trash can, and then we're good to go with the dishes. But no matter what we do, it takes time. And if I take the time from not preparing food to spending time with God and His Word, I'm going to learn more about God. I'm going to learn more about Him. I'm going to learn more about His character, and that's going to allow me to grow in my knowledge. Well, then the wrong motivation is for me to stand up and say, oh, look at how great I am. I learned this while I was fasting. Look at how great and wonderful I am, which falls back into pride and arrogance. So a wrong motive to do it is to try to get a hand up or a foot up, and others would learn more than I would. Or vice versa. The other motive is for me to change my appearance. If I came in here and I wore my work clothes and, well, I didn't wash my face and I didn't brush my teeth and no one would really want to be near me then. Oh, Tom, what happened? You had a rough day? Yeah, I'm fasting. Oh, okay. No, I should wash my face. I should brush my teeth. I should look. This is what you got to look at. I should do the best I can do. But the motive shouldn't change. It's the wrong motive. I shouldn't be changing my appearance so people look at me. It's the wrong motive. Commentator says this, the most important part of a Christian's life is the part that only God sees. When we fast, that's between myself and the Lord. It's not for me to broadcast. It's not for me to boast about. It's between myself and the Lord. When reputation becomes more important than character, we have become hypocrites. If I'm fasting so that people will know and pat me on the back and say, that a boy, then I'm more concerned about my reputation than I am my character. And the heart of the issue is the issue of your heart this morning and the motivation for why you want to do it. So that's the bad example for fasting. So what's the good example? Verses 17 and 18. Look at verse 17. But as for you, I can almost see Jesus looking out and saying, hey, you've heard it said before. You've seen it done. You've seen what the hypocrites do. But now as for you 10, you 12. You all right here in the front, as for you, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Take time to take care of yourself so that the outer appearance doesn't change. Back in Bible times, they didn't bathe or shower every day. So they would anoint their head with oil. It helped with the smell of the odor of their body. It also helped to refresh because water wasn't as prevalent as we have it here. And so you'd anoint your head and that would put, a fresh coat on you and it would bring forth a smell. And people would look at you going, oh, it's just a normal Sunday. It's just a normal Tuesday. It's just a normal Wednesday. You're to anoint your head and wash your face like nothing's going on. Notice the difference. Verses 16, the Pharisees did it so that everyone would notice. But we are doing it so that no one will notice, so that people won't notice that you are fasting. Notice the difference in verse 18 to verse 16. Circle, underline, highlight the Pharisees' motivation. Circle, under, highlight the Christians' or disciples' motivation. So that no one will know but your Father in heaven, who sees what is done in secret. Because this isn't for us to advertise, this is for our relationship, to grow in our relationship. So we see God, and God sees us who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret, he will reward you. What are some reasons to fast? Well, there are four. There are more than four, but these are the four that I've chosen to talk about. There is a sincere desire to be alone with God. I crave God more than I crave food. I just long to spend time with God. So much so that the taste and pleasure of food just seems so little when I desire God so much more. Second one is there's a special need that arises. Your homework this afternoon, friends, is you can read the whole Bible. It will take you some time, but go ahead quickly. You can go back and read the book of Esther. Go back to 2 Chronicles 20 with King Jehoshaphat. If you want some other references for Old and New Testament, just look at the number of times people have fasted because there's a special need. There's something going on in your life, whether it's a decision and a crossroad or a crisis, and you say, I have to pray. I must stop everything, including eating for a time, because that need is so big. The third one is you take time to confess your sin. As we have this relationship with God, sometimes he points out things in our life that don't match up with his word. And it causes us such angst that, again, the comfort foods don't bring comfort. It's only when we take and get our relationship with God right that then food begins to have its flavor again. So there's a reason to fast, that you have been found that there's sin in your life and you have to get that sin out and spend time with God. And it's so important, it's so urgent that you have to fast. The fourth reason is to grow your relationship with God. Relationships are fun and they're interesting. And sometimes we need to slow down and spend time with that certain loved one because it's important. And sometimes the craziness of life caves in and we don't spend time with that loved one. Same thing happens with our relationship with God, friends. And so we look at this and say, I have to spend time with God. I want to grow my relationship with God. And maybe you fall into this fourth one down here and you say, I don't even know who God is. Someone invited me today. I just showed up. I saw the sign. I saw the picture. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you grow in your relationship with God. And so if you don't have that relationship with God, today's a great day to start. And it comes back to this question, which do you desire more? Which do you crave? Do you crave times with God? Or sometimes you crave food. Sometimes you crave time with God. Other times you crave other things. But friends, this morning, fasting, genuine fasting, is simply concentrated, intense prayer and concern for the Lord, His will, and His work. Genuine fasting is simply this. You're so focused on God, the things of this earth grow strangely dim. What are those four reasons to fast? To be alone with God? To grow your relationship with God? There's something so significant in your life that you need to spend time with Him, or there's unconfessed sin. I'm going to end the service different than the way I normally end it, because I've been challenged. You don't need to know if I'm fasting, and I don't need to know if you're fasting. That's between you and the Lord. So what I want to do is I just want to pray a general prayer over us. But I do want to reach out and say, if you are here this morning and you do not know the Lord, I'm going to pray something special for you. That the Lord would give you a boldness to see one of our pastors in the back and say, I don't understand this whole relationship with God. Would you help me? Because that is the most important relationship. So let's go ahead, close our time in a word of prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the power of your word. And Lord, help us when we fast. That ultimately, God, we would seek you and desire you first and foremost. And Lord, I confess that sometimes the things of this world, they cave in and they push out the time that we should be spending with you. Lord, help us to desire you more than anything else. For the two groups of people that are here, the first one is if there's someone here that does not know you, that has not received your grace and your forgiveness, may this morning be the morning that you give them that boldness to see one of the pastors in the back. God, I pray that they may have a hunger and a thirst for you, that nothing else will quench until they come to know you as Savior and God. And Lord, for the rest of us as we are here, I pray, Lord, that you might help us to grow in our relationship with you. If there's someone here that's fasting because of a special need, I pray, Lord, that you would meet it. And Lord, if it's not within your good, pleasing, and perfect will, may you give them the grace and the peace and the comfort to know that your ways are not our ways. And that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, if there's someone here that's fasting or needs to fast because of sin in their life, may you put a conviction on them to do that. And then may you bring forgiveness and restoration once it's been done, because you are a God of grace. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And help us to grow in our relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.